This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Rise on K Pulpit.
Wow, good afternoon, good afternoon. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. It's Rise with Renette, and I have the most amazing guest this afternoon. You cannot leave your computer right now. If you're live streaming or on your app or on Facebook, we are live on Facebook. So please go and see this beautiful young lady we've got in the studio with us this afternoon. And she is just something very special. And yet she's had so many challenges. But let me quickly introduce her to you. She is Esther Pretorius, and she is the mother of three beautiful children. And she has a very big passion, is to help people and help pastor trauma, because whatever's happened in her life, she's using very, very effectively in her life right now. And she's a Christian. She's got her master's in Christian psychology, her honors in theology and ministry. I mean, she's got a resume of note. She's an ordained global chaplain for SAFREC, but she's going to explain a little bit more about that, because it's a vital part of her healing of her own journey. So she's going to share that with us afterwards. She had a beautiful child, her middle child called Ulrich, and he was born under normal circumstances, and then life happened. But she's going to share that with us straight after our music break. And we're going to be, and I think this is so appropriate, the song that she's actually going to be, that is so important, is by Lauren Daigle. And it says, "You Say."
Rise on K Pulpit.
Wow, and that was Lauren Daigle, "You Say." And I think my guest this afternoon in the studio, Esther Pretorius, really has a journey. Her and a little young family have really navigated some really difficult times. And she's going to share with us her journey until now, because I believe it's going to be so encouraging and so touching and so uplifting because of what you've actually achieved, Esther. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon and coming to share your story.
Thank you for inviting me and having me here. It's a blessing and a privilege.
Esther, come tell us now, what has your life been like with your three children and, you know, the journey that you've taken so far, and how God has equipped you, ushered you and your husband, and tell us your story.
Okay, so it all happened very quickly, and like we all know, we've got dreams and visions of how our life is going to be. Once you get married, you're going to have perfect children, and that is a perfect life. So firstly, we got married. Shortly after that, we had our first baby, and she was born a bit premature and was in the ICU. We battled through that 3 weeks ICU. She came home. Everything was fine. And then I fell pregnant again shortly after that. Mm-hmm. My pregnancy with Ulrich was a good pregnancy. He was one of twins. And then the other twin at 12 weeks was a vanishing twin that they talk about. And everything went fine. The pregnancy, there was no complications, nothing. It was, I want to say, smooth sailing in my terms, until about 32 weeks. Then I went for a checkup at the gynecologist, and she said, "No, something isn't right. She wants to do a C-section ASAP to get him out so that he does not go into fetal distress." So the next morning, he was born at 32 weeks, and he had one kidney that wasn't working. Mm-hmm. So to make sure that there's no fetal distress, no brain damage, anything like that, she actually did the C-section, and he recovered remarkably. the doctors, everyone said that he's a miracle baby because he was on oxygen for a week and then he was off oxygen, being breastfed, everything. And by 4 weeks, then he would have been, 36 weeks gestation? He was ready to go home. And then he went home, but unfortunately the kidney that was not working had lots of problems, if I can say it in a way that is not doctor terms. So what happened with this kidney is it did not pass through the bladder, but it went right into the urethra. So there was no, clepes? I don't know what you call it.
Okay, valves.
Valves, yeah, yes. Valves to stop the urine when he urinates to push up into the kidney.
Goodness.
That's not working.
Mm.
So the doctor said, okay, he must just be a little bit older and then we're going to remove the kidney because they can't keep him on antibiotics. But in that process, he started rolling and he reached his milestones, also started sitting unassisted for a few seconds and he was such a healthy little boy other than having the kidney complications.
Yes.
And then came the operation. The operation was a success.
Did they feel now he was ready for the operation?
Yes.
Okay.
He was 6 months old and he was a nice fat little boy. And they said, okay, now it's the time to do the long-awaited operation. He went in for the operation. He was in there for 2 hours and he came out and everything was 100% with mm-hmm. him. No, nothing went wrong. We went to the pediatric ICU in a well-known hospital in Joburg. And that's when a nightmare happened the next morning. We went home that night, the next morning, got to hospital. We were asked to wait outside because something has happened. And we were not told what was happened or anything except that we had to wait outside. We were outside waiting there for 45 minutes. And eventually the sister came in and she said, no, we can come in. And yeah, our son is on oxygen. His hands is tied up and he's got a squint.
Oh, that must have been devastating.
And it's such a shock seeing your son that you left here last night.
Fine,
drinking. Everything was fine. Now he's on oxygen and he's squinting. He's running a fever. Everything is just wrong. Everything's wrong. And the doctor just turns around and walks out. Not telling
us. No explanation.
What happened? None. So I asked the one sister what happened and she said to me, oh no, he cried himself out. And I'm like, okay. And he was still blue around the mouth. So I asked her, well, how hard did he cry if he had to cry himself out to be blue in the mouth still after 45 minutes? And that didn't make sense to me. My husband asked the other sister, and the other sister said, no, he choked on something, and he stopped breathing.
Then so they all got their own version.
They all got their own story about what happened. And I felt very uneasy about what happened, and I prayed, and I said, God, show me what is going on. Needless to say, we were there the day, spending the day with him, but he wasn't drinking at all, and I breastfed him. He wasn't drinking. He was clingy, and you can see something wasn't right. And then his machine started going off because his blood pressure started climbing. And then the sister will come, and she'll just press the button and turn around and walk away again. And so it went on and on and on until he had a stroke until he had a stroke because his blood pressure ended up to be 170/99.
For a little thing like that.
And
oh,
in my arms,
word.
He had that stroke. So I lost it completely and I
Understandably.
Went off at the sisters and then came in two doctors running to see what they can do. Still till this day, no explanation. And unfortunately, because of the resuscitation that we only found out later.
That happened in the theater.
No, in the ICU.
Oh, in the ICU.
In the ICU. When they said he cried himself out, he actually choked on something and he had to be resuscitated because he was without oxygen for 10 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
And we only found all of this out after we started doing brain scans and all this kind of stuff because his development started regressing. And what he could do, he couldn't do anymore. So eventually we took
him. And the squint?
The squint was because of the where the stroke happened.
Yes.
That's the part of the brain that was affected by the stroke. That's why he's got the squint. So yeah, so he's actually quadriplegic cerebral palsy. That's the umbrella term we use. But the real diagnosis is spastic tetraplegia with anoxic brain damage. So we use cerebral palsy. It's just so much easier to
when people see
him. Yes. Because he is in a wheelchair. He is still wearing nappies. He's got speech dysfunction, so you can't hear what he's saying always. He talks, but it's 1, 2, if you're lucky, 3 words. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and he's basically stuck in his body.
Oh, that must have been something really tough for you. And what was the family dynamics around this? And, you know, obviously the legal side of it, did you take action or could you take action? You know, what was the process of, with this now facing, what do we do now?
Yeah. So the sad part is his sister is a year and a half older than him. So she had to grow up very quickly. Because soon after that incident,
all your attention went to him.
Went to him because then we started with operations, and he has had in his 8 years 22 operations till date.
My goodness, that is so tough.
The bad thing is, we tried suing them, and because it's a private hospital, they just keep telling us that they have tried everything to
compensate.
Not compensate, to make sure that he did not sustain any brain damage, and everything failed. So they can't be held liable for not a mistake, but for all the things that they did that did not work. So they just said, you know what, it's like being in a car accident and you try to sue the car company because the car didn't keep you safe after you got hurt in a car accident.
Wow, and I'm like, oh, well, that is something.
Yeah, so we just got nowhere.
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 And as a young family, you know, what were your emotions at that time? You know, because obviously you were believers. I mean, you were followers of Jesus Christ. And you know, you've got this young family. And there must have been a problem with forgiving and all that as well.
Definitely. Forgiving, I think that's a book I can write there just on how to forgive professionals and yourself.
Yes.
Because I blamed myself quite a lot. Mm. I actually thought that he should not go to a semi-state hospital but to a private hospital. I was fighting with the medical aid, and then afterwards you're like, if he just went to...
It could have been different.
And if I just did not trust the sisters to look after him and said, I want to sleep there, even though they didn't have place for me, or staying up the whole night there. You know, you've got all these thoughts going through your head. And yeah, forgiving yourself, I think, is the most difficult part, because
you're there, you want to protect your child, and you're the one that should have had all the tentacles up, because that's what we do. We think that we can rescue a situation.
Yeah, that's the thing. We are rescuers. We as mothers are rescuers.
And nurturers. And nurturers. Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah, and with them, sometimes still now I need to forgive them because I want to drop a bomb under their bum and be like, really? You know, it's a journey, especially if you sit week for week and you go to OT and physio and speech therapy and you see your son can't even stand up from a chair that we take for granted.
Yes.
He can't even eat and you take it for granted.
Yes.
Normal things like going to the bathroom, I mean, he's still nappy bound.
Yes.
I mean, that's like...
And it's horrible for you... For him, as well, you know, for him, you know, what he's going through. You know, Esty, thank you so much for sharing that with us, because I know it's very, very tough to be so vulnerable and open about it. And yet, you know, your hands are chopped off, your heart is broken. And, you know, as a young husband and wife, you know, financially, it's a huge, huge thing that's happening. You know, were you working at the time?
No, luckily I were not working, but financially it took a big toll on us. We had to move back to parents quite a few times because of medical aid not covering all of his procedures, especially when he went for Botox.
So it wasn't sustainable initially?
It wasn't. It wasn't at all. Actually, we only started digging and clawing our way out of financial distress about 3-4 years ago, because with all of his procedures, there was always co-payments and this and that. And it wasn't just a co-payment of 1 or 2,000 rand. It would have been thousands and thousands of rands. Mm. And you as a parent can't sit back and just say, okay, well, I do not have 20,000 now. He cannot go for Botox, or he cannot go for this, or he cannot go for that. And then above that, also, he had to get a wheelchair because he couldn't fit in the prams anymore. Yes. He's getting taller and heavier.
All those extra costs.
All that. And just getting a wheelchair. The first wheelchair cost 23,000. But God was graceful. We opened a Backer Buddy site. Mm-hmm. And people were so generous. And we could, fantastic, on his birthday, his fourth precious birthday, he got his first wheelchair.
Okay, so that is wonderful.
That opened so many doors for him by feeling a bit more independent than just being on mommy's lap or, you know, that kind of thing.
Fantastic, fantastic. Well, that is a bit of a beautiful positive note.
Yes,
that ended up on. But we're gonna listen to Kees Kruinoort. I've not heard of this singer yet, but I think the song sounds amazing. Called Running Into Love.
Awesome.
And yes, I think this is, you know, I always say my music gets chosen for me. So I'm so privileged. It normally confirms my guest or our topic. And I really believe this is where you learn to run into God's love, hey?
Really?
Really?
It does. And it also my son learns me a lot about unconditional love.
Unconditional love. Precious. So we're going to continue this conversation with Esty straight after this beautiful track that we're going to listen to. I'm looking forward to hearing it as well. Enjoy. Wow, that was such a beautiful song, Running Into Love. And this is such a beautiful testimony that I have with Esty Pretorius here today. She's just discussing the challenges that they've had with their son Ulrich, just how they landed up in with this, you know, with him having cerebral palsy. But he's such a blessing, yet there are challenges, and I know there are some beautiful rewards. And God has really matured you, as we were discussing earlier on, how to handle this and cope with what you've been faced with, because this is, you know, with God's grace and mercy, you know, we trust for healing. But if it's not so, how do you usher having a child and all you've achieved? I mean, you're beautiful, you're young, your husband's got, you know, I just loved listening to him the other day about, you know, having to plan long time ahead for a young couple. You know, we don't think of things like that, you know, that he will never struggle. And that is where your people's heart is to make sure that his life is comfortable for the rest of his life. But at the same time, you've got two other beautiful children, and, you know, just give us your story around that as well, as how do you find place for your other two children, because he's full-time, you know, Ulrich is taking a lot of your time and energy, but at the same time, he is teaching you beautiful things as well, so you're going to share that with us. I think it's so beautiful.
Yes, so I think the thing that's the most challenging is to find a balance. Mm-hmm. Because having two kids, two daughters, that is, how do we say, normal? Because I don't think normal is a normal thing today anymore. But being neurotypical, not being special needs. So they would love to go walk in the mountains, go hike, do stuff like that. And with Ulrich being in a wheelchair, unfortunately, that does not work. we can also not just pack up and say, okay, we're leaving for the weekend, we're going on holiday, because it needs to be planned out. Is there hospitals close by? Is the doctors, do they fall under our medical aid? Are they network doctors? Are they not network doctors? When we get there, is it wheelchair friendly? Is it not wheelchair friendly? Is there stairs leading up to the bedrooms, or is there not stairs leading up to the bedrooms? So we need to sit down, and it looks like a whole list of checks that we need to do to find a place that we can go either eat, go on holiday to.
Even the smallest function.
The smallest outing. The smallest outing, even going to the beach, you need to know, like, is it accessible for us to get to the beach? Mm-hmm. Is there bathrooms close by for when he needs a diaper change? You know, if something happens and he starts vomiting, is there a hospital close by? Anything is
a challenge.
A challenge. Even driving in the car. When he was little, he actually started getting panic attacks in the car while we were driving. So we could never drive more than 10 minutes. Then he would start getting panic attacks or seizures or stuff like that. So it has been difficult navigating that with having three children. And with him growing up in a normal house, he thinks he can do anything. His sisters does.
Yeah.
So he wants to pack the dishwasher. He wants to make the bedding. He wants to do everything they do. So it's very difficult having that balance. That is the most difficult part for us. Financially, it is difficult. It's really difficult paying for everything that needs to be paid for, medicines that he uses every day. He's got shakes that he needs to drink because he's not picking up weight like he's supposed to. Then doctor's visits, hospital visits, that's also in there, in the mix of being difficult. Sleeping arrangements. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. That's now a difficult one because he cannot turn in his sleep and he can roll on his back, but not back.
So, okay.
He was sleeping in our room until the end of last year. Then we could only move him out, and then he was 7 years old. So we had a boy sleeping in our room for 7 years. And we didn't sleep through at night. We even don't sleep through at night now, because you need to get up.
Be vigilant. Yeah.
And then you need to go turn him when he calls you, or if he's thirsty, he needs water. If he had a wee in his diaper, you need to change the diaper. So it's like having a newborn
for all the time.
Seven, 8 years, all the time. Yeah. So that's also very difficult. Then you get to the exercises that you need to do with him every day. He needs to exercise, but he hates it so much because it hurts.
Oh, okay.
It hurts for him to walk.
Yes, that's understandable.
It hurts for him to bear weight sometimes on his legs. He gets spasms just by getting excited because he's talking to Oma and Opa on the phone, or he's seeing something he likes. His legs starts getting so spasmed up that you can't bend the legs. It's like he actually, the one day I was doing his diaper and he started getting a spasm that it was so strong that I fell backwards with him kicking straight with the spasms. Then there's the medicine. Okay, we're going out. Do you have the diapers? Do you have his bottle because he can't drink anything? Do you have his special knife and fork? Do you have the tray? Do you have the medicine for if a seizure, the spasms happen? If there's a seizure, do you have medicine for that? If he gets sick or his sisters get sick, you must keep him away because he's got a compromised immune system. Is he going to end up in hospital? So you are constantly thinking.
On awareness.
You are. You are constantly in, I would say, a fight and flight.
Whole
time, because you need to be hyper-vigilant about
everything.
Who's next to him? Is he in the play area? Is kids going to take, you know, just wheel him out there and be like, oh no, I want this machine to play on this machine. And it has happened before. So we can't even just sit and have a nice coffee at a coffee shop without wondering and looking and seeing what's going on. So your whole life is
in this process.
In that process of being hypervigilant. You can't sleep too deep because what if he vomits? And it actually happened before we went to the court. and he actually slept at my mom's house. And while we were sitting there at the advocate, my mom phones and I pick up. She said, "Oh, don't worry, but if you come home, you must come to the hospital because we're in the hospital with Ulrich." And I'm like, "What?" And she's like, "Yeah, he started vomiting this morning and we couldn't turn him over fast enough and he aspirated and now he's in the hospital." And I'm just like, "Oh, Lord, please help me." And one night stay over with Oma and Opa turned into a week stay in hospital because of aspiration. Sure.
So that's responsibility you feel is on you all the time.
All the time. Mm. You don't even know sometimes.
You don't realize it.
You
but
don't.
It's sitting on you.
It's always there. It's like even at night, I get myself walking there, just opening the door, looking like, "Okay, no, he is closed. No, it's not close to his face. Okay, I can go sleep." Okay, you know, that kind of thing. And you don't even realize it. Sometimes you get up five, six times at night just to make sure he's fine. Mm. Because horrible things can happen. He can
die in his
sleep.
It's like you would do with a baby. It's like what you would do with a baby.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
So you don't know if he's going to choke, if he's going to vomit, and he has to be in the right position.
Yes.
And he can't help himself. Oh, that is so precious. And so sorry about that, that you have to actually go through this. But God is good. I mean, he's done so many amazing things with you. I mean, you've studied, I want us to, you know, it's, straight after our next song, "You Raise Me Up," I think this is going to be, I think, really an opportunity for us to go into that next session of what God has done with you as a family and for you.
Yes.
And and the fact that you studied and, you know, this organization that you a chaplain for, and why was it essential for to get the help that you needed.
Yes.
And go and actually plug into so that you can be well equipped. So we're going to listen to Josh Groban, my favorite of my favorites, and one of my favorite songs is "You Raise Me Up." It reminds me of, I've got so many good memories of my father. And, so this is very touching for me as well. Enjoy. And we will be back with Esther straight after this and just hear what God has done with her and her life and their lives. And it's going to be so uplifting to see how successful they've actually been up until now. And very proud of you, I must say.
Thank you.
Very proud of you. So we're going to listen to "You Raise Me Up" by Josh Groban.
Rise on Cape Pulpit.
Wow, that was "You Raise Me Up" by Josh Groban. And such a joy always to listen to him. We have Esti Pretorius in the studio with us. She was just sharing about her challenges and, with her Ulrich that has cerebral palsy. But, you know, at the end of the day, it happens. But God is God at all times. And she's just going to share with us how she's navigated her life and just what God has done with you as a family thus far.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. So the amazing thing about all of this is God has prepared me for this long before it even happened. So I studied my psychology, did my counseling, did everything ministry-wise, even before having this happen with all. And with that standing still, God gave me practical things in my life that I can apply with this whole journey going through with Ulrich. I learned about trauma firsthand. Mm-hmm. I learned about losing dreams, losing vision sometimes, feeling like a failure, feeling alone, feeling left out, being rejected by friends. And as a family, that's things that we navigated through. And God brought out of that in my life a ministry. And that is where people heard about my story, they heard about my passion, and they just saw what God has created in me. And then I had a chaplain actually reach out to me, Flynn Goodwin.
Yes, the name well.
And he said to me that what he's heard and everything is remarkable. And he wants to know if I would be able to and wanting to join SAFREC, that is the South African First Responders Chaplaincy. So with them, I went and I digged a bit around there, seeing what they did, all that. Never knew what a chaplain was. So for those who want to know what a chaplain is,
mm-hmm.
or especially SAFREC chaplains, is that we provide vital support during times of trauma, offering spiritual, emotional, and physical care and guidance to individuals in the need and offering a bridge between local support and the community. And then also, we are committed to training community chaplains that's out there helping the community,
mm.
being there to support them. We are training chaplains to go out into hospitals where we needed one so dearly after the operation or the thing that happened to Ulrich, for someone to come sit and just talk and listen to our hearts and what happened there. And that is what SAFREC wants to do. And that's why I decided I've got such a passion to be there for other people that loses a loved one, that was in an accident, or someone that feels so desperately lonely that they want to commit suicide, that's or it. Depressed,
mm.
that we as chaplains can be there to support them,
mm.
to give counseling for free, and to help them, guide them, and to place them under a spiritual authority so that they can grow and learn cope. To know who God is and how to cope.
Wonderful. That is so important. And at the same time, you were coping, learning how to cope for yourselves,
yes.
in this journey. You know, yeah. this is where we often don't get the help that we need or go. I mean, that's how I studied psychology, was through my trauma.
Exactly.
And for the first time, I spent 40 years not looking for any help ever, just trying to cope with life as it is. And then the Lord showed me, I need to go and get some help,
yeah.
and to cope. And when I looked again, I studied psychology, and praise the Lord for that. And I'm using that as my vocation today. So I just want to encourage you, family and friends, the fact that Essie took this on as a ministry, which has taken her into a complete different scope. And, you know, sometimes what we think comes into our lives as a you know, very traumatic against us, but God says, I will turn everything for good for those that love me. And I think
sure.
you're a perfect example as a family, how God is using you mightily for His good. At the end of the day, it's all for Him anyway.
All for Him,
and I
for
think
sure.
Ulrich is there as well in his situation. And we just trust that the Lord will do what He needs to do through Ulrich and for Ulrich, that He's got purposed and planned. And we can trust your whole family with God. And trust that He will fulfill whatever He had purposed and planned. Mm. And whatever happened came from the enemy.
Yes.
We know that. We
Definitely.
Know that. But at the end of the day, God is never going to just leave you there, because you've learned how to love Him, how to trust Him, and to believe in Him. And I think you and your little family is such a perfect example. And we pray for your two daughters that they will be ushered in this process of good, wonderful things that God has got purpose and plan for you as a family, and
sure.
all the great things. So we trust the Lord for that.
Definitely.
And at the end of the day, we know that God has got us. And I really trust and believe, as you have shared, I know you're a speaker as well, and you've been asked to go and, you know, encouraged. So for anybody out there that could possibly would like to, just give us your phone number if there's any counseling that they need, or anybody that's been through this as well. How can they get hold of you, Esther?
Yes, so they can. I would prefer WhatsApp.
Yes.
Because I do counseling also. So between the chaplaincy, I've got my own counseling practice also. So WhatsApp me and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. And my number is 062-241-1223.
Just say it again.
062-241-1223.
Fantastic. And Issy, you know, you could possibly be just somebody's ear that
yeah.
is going through some challenges now with one of their children, or a parent, or a partner, or whatever, that they can just possibly just get some encouragement through you. So thank you so much, Esty, for sharing your amazing testimony. And may God continuously use you mightily for His glory and for His kingdom.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Family and friends, I have to read something. We've got a very cute project that we are busy with, very adorable. I'm going to read it to you. It says, to all the lovers of knitting out there, listen up. We need your help. The community wing of Radio Cape Pulpit has asked the I Can Senior Club to knit 150 items for an old age home, and they excitedly agreed. But there is a problem. These seniors only receive a SASSA grant and can't afford to buy the wool, and that is needed to complete this big project. This is where you can come in. We need the wool and lots of it. We are calling on you to please assist us by dropping your donated wool at our station, or if you are not close by, to contact Susan to arrange a drop-off and collect from your area. Also, we are welcome to pop in at our station and sit and knit to add your piece of handiwork in there. And we've had so many amazing photographs. We've even had men coming in and sitting and knitting. It is so gorgeous. And we put it on Facebook and we really have a great time in the studio here. And the project runs from April until June 2025. Call Radio K Pulpit on 021-180-5744. 021-180-5744. Or mail Susan at kpulpit.co.za, or visit our K Pulpit website, .co.za. And God bless you as you show your love in action. Radio Pulpit, from the word to your heart. And then we also have Cape Pulpit app. Please download the app. It is one amazing way to listen to the word. And you can look at our podcast, even this podcast. If you haven't had a chance to be with us live, go down on our podcast. It soon will be loaded and you can listen to this interview via the app. So whether you're in your car, at home, at the office, or in the gym, all you need is the Cape Pulpit app. Enjoy your favorite programs and the best uplifting music in crisp digital sound. Simply visit the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store and search for Cape Pulpit. Download the free app and enjoy live radio programs, podcasts, and even select the audio quality so that you can manage your data usage. Download the app today and have Cape Pulpit with you wherever you go. Cape Pulpit, from the word to your heart. So please join us on the app and enjoy Cape Pulpit. And we will see you next week. Thank you, Esty, for being with us.
It's a pleasure. Can I give an alternative number also if they can't reach me on the other one?
Please
So if you can't reach me on the first number, I've got a second one also. It's 0662411223.
Amen. And take care. Stick to the rules. Holiday times. You know why we are here, where we are heading this April is really celebrating what Jesus Christ did for us with thankfulness and forever gratefulness for what He did for us. So please spend this time with Him. Go into His presence. Lay down your life and submit to Him fully in this time, because that is the safest place, and the God, the Almighty God that we serve, is holy, and He is all that we need. We are nothing, nothing without Him.
Amen.
Goodbye. We'll see you same time next week. We'll chat soon. Enjoy your week.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.